All right. Welcome everyone to the release day Q&A. This is going to be the same as a normal one, except at 3 p.m. my time, which is in 27 minutes. I am stopping to hit the button. I have my Stream Deck set up with a literal big red button that I will press to release the game. So that's going to be very cool. You guys probably all know how this works by now, but just in case there's anybody new, we have the stage speaker request feature. You can request to speak, and we'll take those requests in the order that they are received. Looks like right now we've got Nico, who is muted.
Hey. Can you press the button right now?
No, I will not press the button right now.
Good attempt.
Yeah, I tried. In terms of, like, right now, you're not going to do any updates because, well, you just rushed to get the Steam release. But, like, do you have a schedule for, like, how often you will update the Early Access version? Or is it going to be like, yeah, feature is done, we release it, and no schedule, no, like, monthly, bi-monthly or something?
So before we had kind of a rule of at least one major update a month, and we tried to do minor ones when we could. Now it's slightly changed. Internally, we're still going to try to hit a pace like that, but we're not publicly holding ourselves to it. It's more like when things are stable, we put them in testing, and then when we're sure that they're ready, we release it. No schedule, just trying to maintain a pace.
We also didn't really rush a lot of stuff for this Steam release. We've been working fairly consistently, and aside from a couple of issues over the weekend, we were pretty set in stone with our build probably about a week prior to now.
Yeah, we were, but then it was still a really hectic week because we kept having small things that we had to fix and, like, build issues. There was that thing where I built on my laptop and a bunch of models disappeared and the T-55 had no armor. Like, there's all that stuff that also affected Steam. And we've been going back and rebuilding the Steam build for the last week several times, plus managing a bunch of, like, admin stuff behind the scenes. So even though we haven't done any major update to the game since the last major update in, the 30th of August, it feels like I've been working nonstop since then.
But you can't stop that. You're always working nonstop.
That's true. The ride never ends.
Yeah.
Yep. I hope that answers your question.
Yes, that answers it. Thank you. Right.
Yep. All right, Ghost of Eric Honecker.
Okay. I was just curious, like, what do you think was the most difficult, like, part of this getting to this point? Like, maybe, like, technical or issue, like, so far you've encountered? I'm just curious to see what, like, the major hurdle was.
Like, for the entire development till now?
Sure.
Yeah, that's, there's been a couple of really strong issues, and Kavi, you can give your opinion as well after. For me, I would say it's been a couple of things. One, getting visibility. Even though it worked out pretty well for us, there was no guarantee that it was going to happen, and it was a huge gamble. And we didn't have any kind of, like, marketing team or whatever. So it was, like, very good luck that Spookston picked it up early, got some momentum going, and it sort of snowballed from there. That should have been, like, a project killer kind of issue, but it wasn't. What actually ended up being an issue for us was we picked a setting and a game type that's very difficult to pull off. There's a lot of first-person shooters or other kind of, player human perspective games, they can get away with a lot higher graphical fidelity because their view ranges are short and their scenes are limited in scope. We have not really an open world, but a very large map. We have flexible time of day. We have all this stuff. It's like every trait of the game's setting makes it harder to pull it off. It takes more memory, it uses more power for higher graphics. Like, we kept redoing the trees and the grass and all this stuff just to try to make sure we squeezed as much visual fidelity out of it as we could while still making it playable. And we still have a lot of work to do on that. We still have CPU optimization to do. But it's just, yeah, the large open maps and long sight distances, it's a very bad combination for game dev. And so getting the game to work at all was a bit of a struggle. We've obviously managed it fairly well so far. It'll get better in the future. We've just been constantly learning new tricks and improving as we go.
Yeah. Adding on to that, I would say we got some very big breaks just by really cool people coming to us and saying, this is an awesome game, I want to add my skills to it. And really putting together some awesome pipelines for us. All of the models that Harry has given us or had given us were, you know, went above and beyond as far as detail and optimization for this kind of work. And that combined with some of Josh's really awesome detail-oriented coding and, like, features, that really got us off to a strong start with Spookston with some of these early influencers. So once we, like, cleared one hurdle, it's just like, oh, cool. Now the next one's coming up. How are we going to get past that? Since game dev is just really just a lot of problem-solving series, you know? So we're just going with the next one and the next one and the next one. But that early stuff, that early, like, getting the vision down and getting what the game could look like after Josh's unnamed tank game, kind of as the prototype, right, Josh?
Yeah, that was a killer prototype, too.
It was a killer prototype, but like, getting those new models in, getting that new stuff in, and showing off a couple of, like, really early images to, like, holy shit, this really looks like a huge game dev studio is making it, but it's, like, three guys, or four guys, or five at this point, rather. Yeah. There's always a hurdle, if I was to say that, but we've just been barreling through them, and now we're about to release, which is just amazing, so...
We have a bit of a two-edged sword going on there, too, because the better we do, the more people think we're, like, a big company or a studio with money behind it or something. I'm not sure if people... What was it that Harry said a long time ago? Like, Squad had several dozen people working on it, and we have five?
Yeah.
So it's, like, the better impression you give off, the more people expect... until you reach a point where they expect more than you can give. I don't know if we're at that point yet, but it's like, it's always a little scary, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyhow. Yep. Next up, we have Neckies. I don't know exactly how you say this.
Hi. First of all, I wanted to congratulate you on the Steam launch. That's huge, and you guys must be so proud.
Yeah, we really
thank you.
Glad to hear it. Also, thank you for having a clear vision for this and standing strong and defending it against the people that wanted want to change it.
We do,
because
okay.
I think you really have something great going on.
I appreciate
it.
And I wanted to ask, you've said you are making the Gonna Heat PC because that's the kind of game you want to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine working on a game and seeing all the nitty-gritty detail on how it's made can kind of suck the joy out of playing it, like, you know, sausage effect. So do you think you'll ever be able to lean back and enjoy the product?
Yeah, I do think so. It's definitely true that when you work on a thing, you get less enamored with it as a player. You see it all the time. Like, my playtime in GHPC on the itch demo and all that stuff is probably not the highest out of everybody who's played, but my personal time on the project is enormous because I'm always, like, you know, you make a change in the code, you gotta run the game to test it, and so I'm just always playing. So the magic of it wears off very quickly, but that's counterbalanced by I'm always the first one or among the first ones seeing new stuff, and we're adding stuff that excites us and that we think fits the vision, so it doesn't get tedious. It's more like we're sort of hyper-focused on each new thing that comes out and enjoying how that fits into the game. Plus, we have the extra excitement of being able to direct it ourselves. We're not just waiting for the game to grow in whatever direction. We're actually making it happen. So it's actually kind of on another level. It's both less and more exciting than being a player.
Some of the most exciting parts is when you get to see the feature that you're working on interact with other stuff as it was supposed to happen. As like, so when you're working on a feature, you generally have to develop it in a vacuum, test it out, make sure it's all working fine and dandy. But then when you're integrating it into other like missions or things like that, you get to see how that changes the effect of everything. So once you do that, the gameplay does kind of take on a fresher perspective, and then you think, oh, this looks cool now, but now I want to change this from my original intention so it'll better fit with these other pieces. And that's when it's like, oh, cool, yeah, I knew this was going to work well. Or the general developer thing of, oh, no, I hate this, let me make it better, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Awesome. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Magnetic Jerk.
I'm sure you're not a jerk.
No, of course not. Okay. But yeah, you mentioned testing, and you also just talked a little bit about this, Kavi. Out of professional interest, I now have to ask, how do you structure or organize your testing, or QA? Like, do you have proper regression or smoke test cases? Do you document any of it, or is it mostly exploratory testing?
Well, we mostly yell at each other for about 20 minutes, and then we get tired and someone decides to actually test the code. No. We're not as well-documented or well-structured in that regard as far as testing goes. A lot of our features are pretty self-contained. When it comes to things like Josh here having to add any kind of information or features to the fire control systems, those are pretty ingrained, and that takes a lot of additional testing. We want to make sure that everything is still working correctly. But when it comes to certain systems like the clouds being added, that's not as big of a lift. Go ahead, Josh.
Oh, no, you're good.
I heard a sound from you. I thought you were going to add something.
Oh, yeah, no, I hit something.
Gotcha. Yeah, so for things like, since you said some of the code words, like regression tests, we try to run we're trying to put more of a focus on, okay, if you made something, make a build from your client and then run the build and the editor to try and get everything down. Make sure what you're adding isn't mysteriously breaking something or adding a bunch of console errors in the background, because chances are, we don't want to mess with any of the performance allowance that we have. Obviously, we'd like to make a lot of those things better, but we don't want to ruin any gains by adding this looks cool, but, you know, it makes my computer run like shit. You know?
Yeah, that about sums it up.
All right. Yep, thank you. Very enlightening.
No problem.
Thank you.
Next up, we have Mitch Lowell 57.
Hello, thanks for making this game, guys. I got a question for you. So I've been supporting you guys on Patreon for about a year or so. What's the way you want us to go about it for people and my friends and such? Do you want us to just buy the game on Steam now when it comes out, and you guys are going to close the Patreon, or how is that going to work?
We made a post about this, I want to say a month ago, something like that, about changes to the tiers. If you go back through the Patreon feed, you'll see it pretty quick. It describes some new stuff, benefit changes. We're taking away IFV tier. That actually just happened. If you look at the tiers on the page now, they've all been updated, new descriptions. So basically, going forward, the Patreon is a way to support us, and each higher tier gets more access to work in progress teasers and interacting with the devs. So the highest tier now, you can actually do, like, you can join in the dev streams that we're going to do. But other than that, yeah, definitely buy the game on Steam if you don't have a key already, because we gave keys to people who have contributed a certain amount in the past. And yeah, just going forward from there.
Sounds good. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely appreciate the support of all patrons who have, you know, kept on or are willing to keep on for this kind of thing. Like, it all helps. Steam is there to assist us, or either we, the goal has been to get on Steam for a long time and obviously get sales, but even just having side support from Patreon is still valuable to us, so thank you.
Yep. Next up we have Dr. Daniel.
Hi, well done on the Steam release.
Thank you.
Very good effort. My question was, with obviously the main pull of the game was, well, for me it was the voice acting, very realistic, very gritty. Going into the future, do you think it'll be harder to develop such voice acting for like factions such as the NBA and the Soviets?
Harder in what way?
Like getting the voice actors, trying to convey to them like the sense of urgency, that kind of stuff.
It's kind of universally tricky. Voice actors tend to have a certain character that they like to play. Like, the really good ones, can be flexible and they'll take direction and kind of understand what you're doing, but it can be challenging to convey, like, we don't want a hero sound or anything. Like, it's just a bunch of normal dudes that are all kind of amped up and scared. And if you're a voice actor and you've been doing, like, trailer voice or protagonist voice or whatever for years... and then all of a sudden we show up and say, hey, just sound like a normal dude who's afraid, and like, that's maybe new. So it can be challenging if the actors aren't used to that, and sometimes they nail it, sometimes they need a bit of direction, but that's just how it goes. That's how voice acting happens regardless. You do some multiple passes, you figure out what works, and you roll with it.
Alright. Yep. Yeah, that's basically the answer to my question.
Gotcha.
Thank you.
No problem.
Shit. That's kind of how it's been with us for a lot of our contractors. We've had to go back and forth just with a, like, oh, hey, this is good. Here's some feedback. Can you try it again?
Yeah, I mean,
nature people, of the beast.
People can't read our minds, and they do their best,
right,
and we course correct, and yeah, that's how stuff gets made.
Mm-hmm.
What's up, Mighty Tiny?
Hello, thank you very much for having me, and congratulations on... making it to Steam, excuse me.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
But I do have a question, though. After your roadmap, because I know you guys would like to be very focused on making sure that gets all completed, and you want to give us the most best experiences on what it seems to be the realistic scale on tank gameplay and whatnot, and how absolutely insane some situations can be. But my curiosity, and I did kind of join this a little bit late, so I don't know if anyone asked this, but do you plan, like, after the roadmap and in the future... kind of like the well-known games already, like World of Tanks or War Thunder, do you plan on adding any of the vehicles that's along within the timeline that you guys made that was only existent in blueprints and only in some tests here and there?
So you're talking about prototypes and limited production kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've from the very beginning, actually, had a pretty strong stance against that, because we are doing kind of a... realism based in certain ways selection of vehicles. We want to see documentation, we want to see what their optics look like, all that stuff. So it's hard to find that for prototypes in the first place. We'd have to just invent stuff. But also, prototypes, I feel like they get an artificial boost in interest from the other games, because the other games usually are trying to find stuff to sell as premiums, and they've usually latched on to, let's sell prototypes as premiums. And we don't have premiums. We just sell the game, and then if we have DLCs, we'll have like a bunch of content at once for a reasonable price. So we have no incentive to hype up a vehicle that never really existed just to sell it and make money. And so that completely changes what we consider important as far as vehicle choice.
So you want to make everything absolutely, that is just the real deal, no fake stuff, no premium features, no services, anything like that.
Yeah, and obviously it's still going to be a game, so we can't say, oh, realism, like, there's going to be things that are not realistic,
right,
about it, but the authenticity, or the sense of authenticity, only seeing vehicles that really existed and really did similar jobs, that's something we want to keep consistent.
So basically, final question, like after the roadmap and after like a few years of having this game up and everything seems all good, whatnot, is there like an absolute primary, the most needed to achieve goal that you have for the future?
We have a, a whole list of them.
Yeah, it's... I like if we're using that as a hypothetical. After the roadmap, we would technically have our multiplayer set up. We would have our co-op systems in place. We would probably have, I mean, working on DLC at that point. So it's kind of just like keep the game going and fun for new and old players alike. Like,
yeah,
right.
Keep doing the correct thing, which in our eyes is authentic sort of gameplay that has a steep learning curve but is enjoyable for new players.
All right. Well, that sounds absolutely awesome. Can't wait to make some chaos in this game. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Paragon Nova.
Yep. Hi there, guys. I just want to say, obviously, congratulations on the progression of your project. Obviously, I've been invested in it from the early days, and it's good to see it's coming along swimmingly.
Thanks for the support.
No worries. Yeah, so my question is, obviously, what we're seeing, you know, as years go by and as with upcoming titles, many larger and smaller dev teams are falling victim to scope creep, you know, where things that are perhaps a little bit too ambitious and they get caught up, you know, essentially chasing their tail. My question for you as a team is simply, you know, what do you do? What is your process for just, you know, for not falling victim to scope creep? You know, how do you decide what makes the cut and what doesn't?
Well, we argue a lot.
Yeah.
As simple and funny as that is, we discuss stuff, and if someone's coming up with an idea that is going to lead to scope creep, someone else always says, "Hold on a minute. What? How are we going to do that? Where do you see that fitting in?" We discuss everything. There's a very small group of us who serve as kind of the core of the direction of the project. And we stick to our vision. I don't want to say like we have anything special about our process. It's just when teams don't do that, the results are very spectacular and like very easy to point to. So we have a lot of examples to learn from. People who let their game get away from them, who overpromised, underdelivered. Like, it's very clear, even for players, not just for devs. Like, you can see examples. You can probably think of a couple right off the top of your head that overpromised. So we know that we can't do that, and it's always in the back of our minds when we're planning.
Yes, yeah. The part I was interested in was not as much the overpromising, because yes, you're quite right. There are some glaring examples of that recently, but it was more so the internal machinations. Because I'm sure you maybe thought, oh, it'd be cool to add this, and then looked at the inner workings of it and gone, actually, this is probably a little bit too ambitious.
No.
And it's cool to hear that, you know, you say you've got this core group that sort of one of their many facets is to keep the project on track and stick to its values rather than following a rabbit hole.
Yeah, and we constantly do that. Like, oh my god, wouldn't it be so cool if X? Those conversations happen probably 2 or 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. Where it kind of comes down to, is this important enough for us to really include it, is like Josh was saying, we have these discussions and we try to treat like all of us just as like, oh, we're some random guys on the internet who are talking to each other. But it's also like any kind of good working relationship or good relationship in general has to, you know, be founded on good communication. So if you have that and you're focused on like the actual problem, like, is this going to make the gameplay better, you know, is this gonna make the whole package better by prioritizing it or something, or even just deciding is it gonna be fun, you know.
And it's kind of a complicated thing too, because you have to constantly balance long-term planning and stability versus flexibility and putting in cool things, and we end up kind of having this push and pull go on where someone will be like, okay guys, we have the plan. We wrote the plan down. We have all these project management tools. Like, we know what we're doing. And someone else will be like, yeah, but we also should accomplish this. Like, this is a very important feedback point. Or we really feel like this is missing from the project. Or now we could add it in a week if we do it now. And so we debate these things. And we figure out what's the best way to meet all of those needs. It's a very tricky thing to manage. It's something that you get better at over time, especially if the people that you work with are all on the same page. We all have the same goal. And so we end up kind of juggling the dreaming versus the structure. And I think we've made it work pretty well so far. I think we're doing all right.
Oh, no,
I would agree.
Like I said, I'm glad you touched on it, just because from my own development standpoint, in my professional career, it's a very nuanced issue that not everyone is experienced personally. So it's good to get your feedback on it. Appreciate you, Tom.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.
One more thing. Oh, is it that time?
Yes, I was going to say before we, if it's real quick, you can say something. We got 2 minutes.
One more thing, as far as professional development goes, you're not always going to be working on a team that has the ability, that is small enough and has the ability to chat these things out. Sometimes it's just going to come up from on high and you got to make it work. But in those times, it's still good to voice your opinion. Don't just let it happen to you. That's it.
Oh yeah, we could get into the craziness of working on teams in corporate environments for a long time, but that's a discussion for elsewhere.
It's almost big red button.
It is big red button. Yes, indeed. Okay, so on to the point. And thanks for the question. So regarding big red button, I have a Stream Deck on my desk. I have remapped one of the buttons to be the big red button. I think I'm gonna film pressing it actually. Let's see. Let's get the Steam admin page up. So I'm going to start by clicking release as early access. I've been screenshotting this button for a while. Publish as early access, good. Other actions will be performed. Set the launch discount to 10%, blah, blah, blah. Playable in Steamworks, released. Store page to public, date time to now. Okay, this all looks good. Don't push this button until the moment you're ready to release.
Are we ready?
I think so. I don't know if it's gonna, I think it's gonna make me confirm as well. Let's see what happens. Let's get a video up. I'll upload this when I can. Move some stuff around. Okay. And recording. There it is. Let's hit the button, confirm app release. If you're ready to release your app and make it available to customers immediately, type the phrase release my app into the box. All right, I've done that. I believe clicking now will release the game. So, big red button, pressed, loading. Still loading.
The suspense is killing me.
I know, it's showing me a little animated spinner thing. Oh man, all publishing tasks have been completed. Your application is now visible on the Steam store. It may take up to 10 minutes for your project to appear in lists. You can view your store page immediately following the link below. Let's see it. Gunner Heat PC is already in your Steam library.
Yeah, it's not going to work so much for us.
Yeah. Do you guys see? Yep, there it is.
Yep. Thank you, I Have Big Balls.
Yeah, for updating us. Okay.
There is your shout out.
I'll trim down that video and put it up later. I've got to grab it off my phone. In the meantime, let's continue the event. The game is now out on Steam. You might have noticed there is regional pricing. So if you are from somewhere that has a lower currency power than the US dollar, and you were like, oh man, how am I gonna afford 30 US dollars for a game? It's probably not quite as bad as you expected.
Except for Australia. They have to pay triple.
Yep.
I set that up late. I didn't want to tell you.
That's right. It's punishment for Harry's sass over the years.
Yep.
What was I gonna do? Oh yeah, I want to see this in incognito to make sure it's
Oh yeah, it shows up.
Yeah.
Yep. pretty cool.
Gunner Heat PC on Steam. No light mode. Why? Yeah, $26.99. 10% off and September 13th. All right, boys, we did it. We have a game on Steam. And since Nico has been so patiently waiting, Nico, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing okay. The release was delayed by like 30 seconds. Can we expect a discount on the new DLC afterwards?
Go ahead and write a negative review about that, and we will fix it never.
So yeah, congrats on that.
Yeah, thank you.
I had a serious question, but I also wanted to say something dumb, so the dumb thing has been said. Yes, Pug. Multiplayer. Is it going to be like server-based, or is it going to be like matchmaking sort of stuff for cooperative, or a mix of both? Like, I'm comparing to other games, and I'm wondering.
We have several things in development, but it's too early to say yes or no on those things. We're kind of testing all of them, and we will let you guys know, especially as patrons, as soon as we're sure.
Okay. And yeah, please don't be like other games that I will not name here on Steam that are co-op FPSs with SWAT teams. I am not naming a game.
Gee, I wonder what he's talking about.
Yeah, Steam, I have no idea.
Where Steam integration is not really working half the time, where you're trying to join a friend's game. I know it's tough, but please, if this works, that would just be like the cherry on top.
Well, look, I'm not going to talk shit about other developers. Everyone's got stuff that's very difficult to fix, I'm sure. And we'll do our best. I'm sure they're also doing their best, and it will be what it'll be.
It's been fixed, but early on, it was hard.
I see.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Blake, you have anything you want to say before we keep taking questions?
No, I'm good. I'm reveling in it.
Yeah, me too. I was just wanted to make sure that you had space to interject if you wanted to.
Oh, I'll interject. I'll stop you.
Alrighty. Mitch, you're back on.
Yep, I didn't check my email. I do have the key. Thank you for that. And I'm almost downloaded it now. Nice. But I do have another question for you guys. What was each of your favorite vehicles to work on and why?
Very interesting. I mean, as basic of an answer as it is, I think Abrams is still my favorite because that fire control system is just such a joy to use once you've got it down. And getting it to behave correctly, like the way the lead works and all that, it was a programming challenge, and then once it was done, it was very rewarding.
Nice.
I figured you'd say the Abrams.
Yeah, it's predictable.
It's fun.
Yeah, who could tell that that's his favorite tank ever?
I wonder why it's on the page of the game and all there. Stuff and everything.
And there.
Yeah,
total American bias. I cannot give a super interesting answer to that question because I did not work on many of the vehicles. I work on side items or feature ads here and there. So when the vehicle is effectively in the game, the FCS is down, and we can try it out, then I might have my hand at it. So I will tell you this. I really enjoyed implementing the or integrating the radio into the context menu for the UAZ, where if you select the UAZ and then hit Q, you will see toggle radio, I believe. And then you click that and you have the best music in the game.
True.
One of the best musics in the game. But yeah, I am astounded by the work that these guys do when it comes to implementing these vehicles. So it's always very cool to play the end result of them.
That's what I'm doing now. Thank you so much, guys.
No problem.
Thank you.
Paragon Nova, you are back on.
Thank you, boys. Another one for you, because my titillating questions. Have you guys explored options for further monetization? If so, or two-sided? If so, what and why? And if not, equally why?
Yeah, yes, we anime talk about anime. Yes, we talk about monetization.
Anime stick is done.
You know how we said, like, we talk about everything all the time and we debate and discuss? The monetization, of course, comes up as part of that. We have a pretty clear idea what we want to do, which is not be greedy, for lack of a better way to say it. Obviously, we need money to make the game. People need their bills paid if they're going to do it as a job. But there's a certain limit to where you have enough to make the game and then you're just being greedy. And that's where you start to make it actively worse for the players in order to get more money. That's something that corporations will do without much of a care because, I don't know, that's just how it works. Distributed responsibility. No one feels like they're doing anything wrong. And then you see the quarterly statements and you say, hell yeah, we did the right choice. That's not something that we have in our structure. We have just a very small group. We're very personally invested and mindful of what we're doing. We started off as tank enthusiasts and gamers, and we know how it feels from that side. So we are actively not pursuing those avenues. So to wind it down to a short answer, we make our decisions based on what we feel will allow us to complete the game without being assholes about it. I hope that sheds some light.
Like, if you had any further actual examples of what you're considering for perhaps DLC line, or
sure, we're going to be doing DLCs in the future, and that's going to be old-fashioned DLCs, like game expansions, multiple vehicles, a new theater, new factions. So rather than doing like the premium model or selling individual tanks as modules or anything like that, we're going to be doing, you get a whole bunch of stuff as a whole chunk and you pay a reasonable price for it, and we're going to do our best not to segment the community over it.
I feel like I've just teleported back 15 years in game development. It's delightful. It's music to my ears.
That was the goal.
I'll leave you all alone now. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, next up we have Sebek.
You are muted. You've got this. I believe in you.
Hello, hey. Guys. Can you hear me
now?
There
we go. Yes.
Excellent. Congratulations of successful launch, and I hope the TD is ringing already. And I would like to ask the question, do we gonna get more of single missions? And as well, what is the... what do you release as a next big feature with Max Update?
There's always going to be more single missions until we have the campaign fleshed out enough to focus solely on that. But you'll probably see fewer as we go, and they'll be more complex, if I had to guess. That's the way we're trending. As far as upcoming big features, I don't know that we want to say for sure. I know that people who have the MBT tier and can see the Git feed, you can get a pretty good idea of what we've been working on that's not in the game yet. But we tend to be very tight-lipped about what we're doing until we're sure that it's going to be imminent. So, sorry, I can't give you anything really specific right now.
Right.
We just don't want to overpromise, you know.
Okay, so thank you very much, and I wish you all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, now we have LAV Mother.
Hi, Nufe. Thank you, and also congratulations on the launch of the game. I've actually been waiting for this kind of game for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
One of the big questions I have, well, like, regarding factions, are you planning on adding, like, well, down the line of the game, what factions do you want to see more of for the sides of NATO or Warsaw Pact? And what are the reasons why?
I would actually expand that further. I would say we may get into theaters that don't have strictly NATO versus Warsaw Pact. And I think that's going to be pretty exciting because we'll be able to shine a light on maybe some underrepresented conflicts or near conflicts. but I don't want to get too much into details because we always tend to keep things close to the chest until we're sure.
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah, I'm actually glad because for one, I never thought I'd actually get a good answer like that. Because in some other games, like they'll just be like, "Oh no, it's only just going to be this versus that. We don't want to touch that with the 10-foot pole." But when it comes to you guys actually do a good job and you make it reasonable. That's one thing I like about it. Like about you guys as devs.
Well, I appreciate you saying so.
Right. No problem. Well, alrighty, I shall take my leave.
Alrighty, have a good day.
Me too.
Funny man, you are up next.
Oh, so I have actually two questions. The first one is I guess a jokey one. What is the password you're on escape? Not pause for game, but P does.
Sorry, say again?
What is the password you're on escape? Not pause for game, as in time freeze. But on P, it does.
Just because that's the way we coded it. I don't know.
I get this one. Okay. The reason was we wanted specifically to have a way to just be like, okay, why is this happening in a debug sense? So hit pause. But on escape, we didn't necessarily want any kind of like things to freeze effectively. We just kind of wanted the action to keep going. And then over time, it just became a normal thing in development for us.
Okay, cool. My second question will be about the voice acting. How do you find people that do that kind of voice? I mean, I guess you can't really ask people, hey, can you do a Freight Tanker voice? Or is exactly
well,
that?
It kind of is exactly that. There are websites that you can use to post jobs for voice acting, and then people will send in auditions. So you pretty much describe exactly what you need, you give examples, and then people will submit stuff, and then you say, hey, I think this guy can pull it off, and you give them the job. And that's how we located a chunk of our voice talent so far. There's also been people from the community, especially people who have previous experience in tanks. They already know what to say and how it sounds. They have a slightly different set of challenges than a normal voice actor. Normal voice actor, the challenge is understanding the job and saying the words correctly, because it's all very military terminology. For an ex-tanker, the challenge is to act. Because even if you've done a thing in real life, it doesn't mean you can put your brain back in that spot on command. It's actually a separate skill and it's challenging. Even I knowing what I want voice acting to sound like can't necessarily do it myself. It's something that takes practice. So we did end up finding a couple of people who could pull that off, and we worked with them as well, so now we have this combination of professional actors and just players and tankers who were able to do it.
Okay, thanks. I would consider both my questions answered. Thank you for your time.
No problem.
Thank you.
Next up, we have RBDR. Okay. Maybe we don't have RBDR. Let's say next up we have Sam.
Oh, Sam.
Hello, fellas. Just a quick question. So now that you guys are on Steam, are you guys going to use the point shop on there? So you can buy stickers and whatnot with the Steam points?
You know, we haven't really explored a lot of that stuff. All of Steam's proprietary bonus features. I think we'll probably end up doing achievements, but the game's not ready for that just yet. We have to actually work out which ones we want and put them in when it's more finished. I would say you'll see more things happening as we go. Maybe not all of them, but yeah, we'll expand it.
That's like the most important feature of Steam's site. I'd be surprised if you guys didn't use it. Alright, see you then.
Alright, see you. Hey, what's up, RBDR?
What's up? I just wanted to ask if you could remove my patron role. I've had it for like 3 months and I haven't paid a dime. It's kind of weird.
Sure.
I promise I haven't been using the channels. This is like my first time abusing my privilege. I just wanted to
Well, you're here. You may as well ask us a question if you
You guys have been eating well throughout development? Developers tend to overwork themselves, so you need to take care of yourselves.
We do our best. I would say I'm eating really terrible food, but not too much of it. And I'm keeping myself alive. That's about all you can ask for.
Yeah, about the same. The last month and a half, ever since we went to Steam's Next Fest, it's just been kind of a rush of, like, do the thing and also maybe have some calories. And, just go with it.
I will say this. We went to PAX West just to have a little team meetup and see the sights. And that was some good food. There is some good-ass food in Seattle. That was my first time going there. And goddamn.
Glad you liked it.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, that's it.
All right.
All right.
If it makes you feel better, I can take your patron rolls away right now.
I mean, if you want to leave it on, be my guest. I just figured I'd tell you because it seems like someone forgot.
We don't do it manually. We sort of been trusting the bot to do it. I wonder if the bot is
Patreon.
Not working.
Yeah, the Patreon integration is sometimes hit or miss. Well,
yeah, I guess
in any case, miss, huh? Thanks, Jesus. Thanks for being honest, and you are an interloper, and we will regard you as such from now on.
Okay, yeah. I'm an intruder, my bad, I'll leave.
Alrighty. Man, I can't believe that guy thought he could come in here.
Right?
Yeah. Next up is 11 Imbecile.
Hey, I'm, you know, happy release day.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask, so now that you're, like, on Steam, in the future, are you looking for workshop support and things of the like? More modding support?
The modding answer is the same as it's always been, which is we have no plans to add it in the near future.
Okay. I just wanted to ask, second of all, do you think development's going to slow with bigger updates, or do you think it's going to keep at the same pace now that you're on Steam?
It's hard to say. My guess is it's going to be slower with bigger updates. What do you think, Covey?
I would say the same thing. I think we're going to make some cool things here and there. We're going to definitely try and tease and develop more for people on CAS and sometimes for just regular patrons. But for the most part, I think we're going to start planning more around certain feature sets. And then releasing those is kind of like, oh, this is this kind of update. And then every so often we'll pepper out some content.
Yeah.
We're afforded, with Steam and the way we're changing up our patron tiers, we're afforded a bit more flexibility to focus on things instead of what Josh noted earlier in the discussion, which was like, yeah, every month we want to do this. Not every feature fits well into a month.
Yeah, it's been challenging in the past trying to be like, what's our major update going to be for this month? We have like 3 half-finished giant features and 4 tiny ones. Like, how do we do a patch out of that? It's always kind of madness.
Yeah, let's rush this major feature. Oh, we got it out, and that's cool, but like, it could have been so much more. Yeah.
So now that it's out on Steam, do you think Patreons are going to now see like earlier... How do I describe this? Like, dev builds the game or things like that?
Yeah.
Or is... What?
So, we changed our tier benefits today. There was a post recently about how that was going to change, and I did make that update earlier today. Now, you basically, as you go higher in Patreon tier, you get more visibility on work-in-progress teasers. And another thing we're probably going to do, we're not going to sell or gate access to... test builds like we originally thought we would. It's kind of frowned upon, besides people considering it double dipping. Also, Steam doesn't like it. So what we'll do instead is, if we're going to have a beta branch open up or we're going to do a Steam playtest, we'll probably just ping the patrons first and say, hey, just to let you know, this is starting at this time. If you want to get on the list first, be ready.
Okay. That seems like an interesting way of doing it. All right. That's all I wanted to ask. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, no problem.
Thank you.
All right. Next up, we have General Kenobi.
Hang on. Hello there.
Hello there.
General Kenobi.
Okay.
Oh, everyone asked me to do that in the Patreon's voice chat. Help. Well, yeah, hi guys. Love your game. I have two little questions. First of all, recently when I was playing the Soviets, I really had issues in the campaign just doing anything against Abrams. Is that intended? Is it realistic, or is it going to change?
I would say it is intended, and it's going to change, in that we don't have any kind of concept of like balance, artificial balance. We more have things that are not ready yet that would change that picture. So, for example, the numerical superiority of the Pact is not really represented yet in the campaign. They'll just have way more stuff to throw at you. And if you're playing on that side, you will also have way more stuff to throw at the Americans or the West Germans when they're added. The other thing is the Soviets are not added yet. They have much stronger equipment than the East Germans. They were actually quite rude to the East Germans in how they distributed their surplus vehicles. Gave them really terrible stuff to make do with. So a lot of people are looking at the game and they say, oh, this is like American bias. Why are you doing all these East German shitboxes against the latest Abrams and all this? Like, yeah, that's fair, but the game's not finished yet, so this will change pretty dramatically when the USSR arrives.
Yeah, I got it. All right, yeah, that's good to know. Also, is it right? I don't know if I should write a bug report about this, but the AI was always hitting my gun barrel. Like, literally. I jumped in the tank, got hit, gun barrel down. Next send, gun barrel down. In a matter of seconds. Is that right, or...?
Sounds like they're shooting center mass and hitting where they aimed. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. When I play, I usually get one-shotted and exploded, so I would say a gun barrel hit is an improvement.
Yeah. I don't get hit, but that's, you know.
Yeah, that's because you're you.
Master gunner.
Yep. All right.
All right.
Cool, cool.
Thanks for the questions, General Kenobi.
Next up, we have the Mighty Tiny.
Yeah, sorry. Hi again. Just popped up another question. This will be the final one from me. But I see that you guys already have like a contributor, community contributor for the Discord server and whatnot. I tried to find if there was anything on how to be eligible for such things. I figured I'd like to ask you, what does it take to become a community contributor for Gunnerseat PC for content creators and YouTube streamers and whatnot?
Oh, right. So we have two roles. We have contributor and we have content creator. Content creator is someone who has consistent output of GHPC material and a reasonable community size. It's kind of subjective. We sort of hand it out when we feel like it. And then contributor is somebody who did a meaningful contribution or assistance to the game when it was in its early state. There's people who did like the earliest 3D scanning for us, or people who helped us out with some aspect or other, just kind of to recognize them as being helpful.
Yeah. Spookston doesn't put out a lot of GHPC content, but he basically kind of started us as an organic video setup. Just like by doing one interview effectively, and that blew us up out of the water and, you know, really gave us the support, the early support that we needed. So he's on there, but not technically a lot of like streamers are in that category.
Yeah.
All right. And well, for like, what would, like, do you want people to be streaming the game more or to be making YouTube videos a lot more? And another set of questions to the side. Later on in the future, when multiplayer gets introduced or whatnot, do you plan on doing anything of like community, content creators, events or stuff like that?
It's too early to talk about specific things for multiplayer. I would imagine a content creator event is a cool thing. We might explore that. For your first question about do we prefer Twitch or YouTube, I want to say YouTube is more instrumental because of the algorithm. Like Twitch is cool to catch people who just happen to be on at the time, but I've never heard of somebody like getting recommended a Twitch VOD to watch after the fact and racking up views on it. YouTube does that though. It's kind of organic marketing. So it's much more helpful to us if somebody makes a YouTube video that happens to capture a niche audience and it takes off. That is how the game, the awareness of the game spreads, and that's how it has in the past. So we'd like to keep that going.
Yeah, we've had a very organic kind of marketing setup. I'm of the mindset, like, anyone streaming, making videos of it, throwing it up on TikTok, that's all great for us. Yeah.
It's all good.
And I definitely want to see more of that.
All right, and, well, actually, this is the episode of Final Cause Promise, but for Gunner's Heat PC, new players, how do you want people to look at Gunner's Heat PC? Like, what is the main direction that they should take when they look at the game?
I would say to keep an open mind. It's a little different from most things that are out there already, and if you come into it expecting a previous game that you've played, you'll probably be disappointed in some way or another. We're not gonna convince everybody to like it, and that's okay. That's like a normal thing. So basically just play it, keep an open mind, pay attention, and then if it speaks to you, that's cool.
Yeah, start slow, ramps up quick. Once you get those first few hits of, I guess, adrenaline from your tank crew, then I think there's a really good chance that you'll want to see more of it and see how it evolves.
All right, well, thank you. Thank you very much for your time, and hopefully good luck to you guys on this game, and I'm looking absolutely very much forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for the questions.
No problem.
Next up, we have D's.
First of all, congratulations on, you know, this product reaching the state that it's in.
Oh, thank you.
I'm one of the really old M1 tank platoon, the first one, who's been waiting, you know, 40 years for a follow-up. And this is, even in this state, is very much what I was hoping for.
I appreciate you.
Most of the
so.
Guy who wanted the inverted palm switch, and thank you for implementing that.
Oh yeah.
I'm hoping that we could get the cruise decrease speed to work in reverse.
Yeah, I am aware. I seem to recall on several occasions you saying that.
Okay, like I said, I just, you know, and the one thing that in the vehicle discussions, I'm still surprised by the number of people who don't see the Leopard 2 A2 as being what the Abrams eventually became. And it did surpass in many instances, but for the time period, having composite armor, 120 millimeter smoothbore, and a rudimentary hunter-killer capability through the periscope be one of the you know, most advanced tanks of that era.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that will, you know, at some point will be introduced into the game.
Yeah, if you look at the roadmap image, you might notice under the Bundeswehr item, there are some Leopard 2s in that screenshot.
Okay, and I am looking forward to them.
Yes, so are we.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the support and the questions.
Welcome.
All right, it is 3:30, so I'd say let's cut off new requests. The three that are in there right now are the ones that we'll get to. Starting with Snake27.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Howdy.
I've got two questions for more gamey question, I could say, but it's about the roadmap and the support for the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm French. I just wanted to know if what is the plan for the big step on the roadmap, you know, the 1 to 9 step? It's like every 2 months, every 3 months, not determined, not planned.
Yeah, I got you.
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, so
sorry for the roadmap. For the confusion.
No, you're okay. The roadmap is it's going to be roughly chronological in order of time. So we'll start with the first ones and go to the last ones. We're not necessarily going to do it in order. If something comes up and we say, oh, we can get multiplayer and now, like, maybe we'll speed it up. But that's expected to be about in that order, 1, 2, 3, all the way to 9. The other thing is we don't have a schedule for it. We know that we're going to be in early access for a bit. I would say at least a year. Can't tell you anything other than that because we're going as fast as we can, as fast as our budget allows, and we'll see how it comes out.
Okay. One year is pretty short for an early access, so good luck with that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
No problem. But the second question I have is about the infantry on the roadmap. You have a little description for each stage, and I wanted to know how the infantry works. It's you disembark them from the vehicle, and they like live their life and do their own thing, or maybe we can control them like an RTS like game, or I don't know how it will work.
Well, okay, so when you debark infantry, you'll have very little control over them. They will have their goal already based on the mission. So if you have an M113, for example, and the mission is to capture a town, you will be responsible for getting them safely to a place near the town where they can proceed on foot to capture. But you won't be able to tell them which specific building to go into or anything like that. You have to trust them to do their job. That may be slightly different for things like the Bradley. If you're playing, let's say we end up adding the cavalry Bradley, the M3, you will have two cav scouts in that case, and they wouldn't be autonomous after they leave the vehicle. They would be attached to you. So then you'd be able to tell them, hey, come get back in or go to that hill or whatever. But that's if we end up adding cav scouts. For now, the actual infantry, they'll be very basic orders. You'll be able to tell them when to leave, and it's pretty much just going to be they go and fight as best as they can after that.
Okay. So, thank you for the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I wanted to ask. I will let the other have their time with you.
Yeah, thank you.
So goodbye, and good luck for the future.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
No problem.
All right, General Kenobi is back.
Hello there,
General Kenobi.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my internet crashed the last time I was here.
Oh, okay.
So I just have a quick question. I don't want to take up much time. About a little game feature with the Russian tanks. What about gun-launched ATGMs? Are they ever going to come in the game?
Yep, for the vehicles that supported them. So right now, none of the tanks that the East Germans have actually supported GL-ATGMs. They were not new enough. They didn't have the fire control systems for it. The B models of T-80, T-72, and I think T-64 were when the Russians introduced GL-ATGM support. So when the T-80B is added, and I think we might do the T-64B at some point as well, those will have the gun-launched ATGMs.
Hey, all right, nice. Thank you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's everything I have. Keep up the good work. See ya.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
And last up, we have Feudy Few.
Hello?
Hey.
Hello.
How's it going? Beautiful launch. Amazing game. I've been playing it nonstop for the past week. One of my questions was, someone had asked about the voice acting, and it may have already been answered. I haven't been here for that long, but for different languages such as German and then the eventual Russian, will there be voice acting in those tanks?
Yes, There will be voice acting. All the voice acting will be in its native language and following the command flow for the country that it belongs to, and it will have subtitles. That's a pretty big change, beside the fact that we're not done finalizing the voice stuff for those countries and getting actors. We also have to put the subtitle system in, so it might be a little bit before we get full voice acting for the NVA and for the other nations, but it will come.
Gotcha. Thank you.
No problem.
Amazing launch, and I hope you have a great day.
I appreciate it. You too.
Thank you. You too.
All right. We are now at the end of the Q&A.
Biggest what?
What?
We launched a game.
We did launch a game. That was crazy. I was so busy talking, I kind of forgot about it.
We launched a game on Steam.
Yeah.
Like, we're real game developers. That's totally crazy.
I don't feel any different.
Right?
No, this is very exciting. I imagine the rest of the day for me is going to be looking at my unreads on Steam and then curling up into a ball.
Oh my god.
I might have to get somebody else to read all the comments for me and let me know if there's anything important.
It's okay. We have Harry on PR if he's up for it.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. Especially Harry.
This is a pretty wild milestone. I have no idea what the future is going to hold. We took a bit of a gamble releasing on Steam because we had the Patreon income. It was consistent, even though it's not something that you can base like a big game project off of indefinitely. It was still like, it got us where we are now, and we're very grateful for it. Releasing on Steam is like, we're removing the incentive, a lot of the incentive for Patreon support, because there's no longer an exclusive demo attached to it. But we're getting Steam sales as well. And if the Steam sales turn out to be more than the Patreon would have, and it keeps going long enough, then it was the right decision. Hopefully that is the case.
Yeah, time will tell, honestly. I'm pretty jazzed right now, honestly, all things considered. Yeah. I think we have a really good product. I think we have a insanely supportive community who's really just looking for more good gameplay from us, and I want to deliver on that.
Mm-hmm. Same. Also, I want to mention wish lists. They update every day, every 24 hours, so I don't know exactly what the count was when release happened, but we, as of this morning, had 91,777 wish lists for Gunner Heat PC. I don't. Jeez. It's hard to quantify what's a lot of wish lists on Steam, but that's not a little. That's what I do know. So we're very happy with that outcome. It's also hard to quantify how much you can expect in sales from wish lists. It ranges in percent very wildly if you survey developers. Some hardly get any turnover at all. Some, they get the majority of that count in sales. I've heard some interesting figures for first week sales based on wish lists. If they are true, we will be okay. We will have our first year funded from the launch. But I don't know that yet. We have to see how it goes. So fingers crossed.
Yeah. All we can do right now is, you know, watch the feedback that comes in, make sure that we're doing our best to keep the game solid and add more to it.
Yep. Just keep doing what we do.
Yep.
All right. We're going to go and deal with the onslaught of everything.
Yeah. All at once.
Yep. by the way, a reminder, the tiers have changed for Patreon. If you guys are IFV tier, your benefits are now the same as APC, so you should consider changing your pledge either up or down as you desire, if you would like. Also, the cast tier has opened up. If you are a bit of a high roller, you just want to dump money, it's $25 a month, and in exchange for that, you get very direct access to our dev streams, which we're going to start hosting here on Discord in exclusive channels. Also, MBT tier will now have access to the Patreon teaser channel. It's called WIP Teasers. You guys probably already see it if you're a MBT tier. That is going to be the leak channel, yes, as the voice chat is saying. That is, you know, there's not that many things we can do now that the demo is gone and Steam is the only way. But that is one of them. We can show you guys stuff early before it's ready for everybody else to see. So MBT and cast tier will have that.
On top of that, while we might not have the full schedule out just yet or ready just yet for who is going to be streaming, it'll probably be Action or myself for the immediate future. But once we're ready, we're going to put that out. And also, these Q&As are not going to stop. We're still going to have these monthly. I like doing them. I think you like doing them, Josh. Yeah.
They're a good milestone, a good way to keep the dialogue going with everyone. But if you want to get quicker and more meaty updates on stuff, definitely consider MBT or cast tier.
Yep. You could see my office. You could see Josh's office. My office is better than his.
That is true. Yeah, that's true. Yours is much better. You have a house and stuff.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just a renter. I'm just trapped in millennial hell. Anyway, okay. Yeah, thanks everyone for coming. We will catch you around.
Thanks all. Bye-bye.